Welcome back to the program on a Friday as we continue into week three now of college football season. I'm joined by David Sears, as always, on this Friday as we enjoyed a nice week off. David went one place, I went another, but we're back convening in the greatest state in the southeast named Alabama in the United States. Right, David?
That is correct. It is the greatest state named Alabama in the southeast.
Well, I guess it's been kind of an interesting week already. Last night, SEC got kicked off for the weekend, LSU and Mississippi State. I guess we'll start there. Dan Mullen, yeah, I think we warned everybody that not to buy into Mississippi State, but it looks like they laid another egg.
Yeah, you did say at the beginning of the season, I was the one that heavily bought into Mississippi State, thinking they were going to be the
strike. Oh, I didn't think you did.
And starting off 0-2 in the SEC, still hasn't beaten anyone in the SEC West outside of Ole Miss. So he is easy. He looked, his offense was very pedestrian last night, got shut out in the fourth quarter when they needed to score to actually, you know, win the game. gave up 10 points in the fourth and lost 19-9. So it was just a disappointing performance. I know that was the biggest game in Starkville history. And like at least the last time LSU went there, they just blew them out tremendously. Nope. No, I take that back. 2009 was the goal line stand of LSU. When there, but it was 2007 when LSU just dominated them on national TV. But it's just another disappointing loss for Dan Mullen, and we're having to wonder, will he ever win an SEC West game that's against someone other than Ole Miss?
You're right. We are wondering that. And by the way, that was 12 straight wins from LSU over over Mississippi State. So not exactly a competitive rivalry there. And I agree with you. It did look very odd at the end of that game. And two games in a row now, Mississippi State has just seemingly given up on everything, whether it's the Auburn game, and they didn't give up, I guess, in the Auburn game. They looked really poor the whole game, but they, at the end there, had a chance to get in the end zone and ran a pathetic play with Chris Ralph. If they've learned anything, I hope it's that Chris Ralph is not the guy to go to in the clutch.
Or maybe that if you're under 10 seconds left and on the one, you should do a passing play first and then try the running play. But that's a learning experience, as Nick Saban says, and we'll see what happens with Dan Mullen in the future if he has that situation again.
Yeah, it was like clock management. I thought I saw Les Miles on the sideline there in Auburn. But speaking of Les Miles, his team didn't exactly look all that bad. I was really impressed with LSU. They did exactly what you do against a team that runs that spread on defense. They just kind of managed them, contained them, didn't let them make big plays, just got them in third and long a lot. And then on offense, LSU, they didn't throw the ball. They didn't have to throw the ball very much at all. They just ran it right down Mississippi State's throat. You have to think this LSU team looks really impressive.
LSU is playing Saban ball, basically.
Yeah.
And it's relying on a very strong defense and a decent running game and occasional passing game. And once LSU can decide, you know, maybe we should put in Mettenberg to let him throw the ball some accurate throws. And, I mean, Jarrett Lee to me is just a placeholder. I'm going to be very shocked if Mettenberg's not the starter.
Man, you just won't let Jarrett Lee go.
Jarrett Lee's a horrible quarterback.
I mean, man, seriously, he had a pretty good night last night. People all across the country were raving about him, but he hadn't won David Sears over, apparently.
I don't buy Jarrett Lee. I mean, he had a very, very lucky game against Alabama last year, and if you look at the previous year, he had 5 interceptions against Alabama. So I just do not buy the Jarrett Lee love. He's a Brody Croyle to me. He's just not that good a quarterback, and he's overrated.
Well, to be honest, I think when he gets into some real defenses in LSU, they won't face one against West Virginia, but they will in a couple of weeks, I think, when they play Florida, the first one, and then they'll face some more down the road, including Alabama's very talented defense. I think you're right. I think Jarrett Lee's his blemishes will begin to appear, and we'll see that him revert back to some of his old, I don't know if it'll be pick six all the time like it used to be, but it'll be reminiscent of old times. But let's move on into Saturday now, and a couple of interesting games that I thought we would pick here. What about West Virginia going on the road against Maryland? West Virginia's number 18. A lot of people think they're the favorite to win the Big East, but they got a road test against Maryland this week that could be tricky.
I think the new favorite game of America will become, what is Maryland wearing?
Yeah.
Especially after the state flag unis they rocked on Labor Day night. But Maryland, I think, has got headed in the right direction. Edsel's a great coach. He really helped build that UConn program. So I don't doubt we'll have Maryland, a very competitive team in the ACC. It should be North, but, you know, weird divisional alignments. I don't know if they're Coastal or Atlantic, which, who cares?
They are Atlantic.
But aren't they on the coast if they're on the Atlantic? Just saying.
Oh, but, serious. All the Coastal teams are inland, and all the Atlantic teams are on the coast. You didn't know that?
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding. But that is about as much sense
legends,
as the ACC makes.
Are they leaders?
Oh, they're losers, yes. And by the way, when Texas joins the conference, there's going to be the Atlantic, the Coast, but they're going to have to add Texas, the Atlantic Coast Texas Conference, because that's just how Texas rolls. They have to have their
name. Want to just become the Texas Coast Conference?
Well, that's the second option.
Well, that's more stuff. But
the Lost Dodds
is... West Virginia will probably win. I think they're a 6.5 or 4.5 point favorite over Maryland. I like that. I think West Virginia played well against Marshall. They were finally getting it clicking when all of a sudden the storm system that shut down the Michigan, I think it was Central Michigan game and the Notre Dame USF game, rolled through and
a bunch of games.
The game in the fourth quarter because they were up so big. And we'll see. I think West Virginia is probably going to win the Big East. UConn does not look good. I don't say that because they lost to Vandy. I think Vandy is a very improved football team.
I do too.
Just UConn does not look impressive to me, and they're definitely missing Randy Edsel.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree completely, and I am picking I think I'll go with West Virginia too. I think they have a better team. We'll see, though. It could be a tricky road test. Okay, and by the way, West Virginia plays LSU next week at home, which will be a big game. Auburn, the Magic, is on the road against Clemson this week. And while I'm picking Auburn, because I can't pick against them. I had egg all over my face last week, and they just continue to pull it out. But I will say this. Barrett Trotter's not seen a road test yet where they're not going to be quiet when he has the ball, so it could be interesting there. What do you think?
Well, Auburn's MO right now is to get into a shootout and let their defense hang on. That's what they used against Mississippi State, and then their offense was their biggest asset against Utah State, so they had the onside kick that helped them seal the deal, because let's face it, if that defense would have had to gun out there and get a three and out, that was not going to happen against Utah State. So the biggest asset for Auburn is their offense. Their defense is slowly coming along, emphasis on the slowly part. And they'll probably beat Clemson because they can win a track meet. Clemson has trouble with the running game. Wofford tore them apart running that wishbone triple option. This has the spread offense has some option in there. The spread option has some potential. It's just not a Cam Newton running it. So we'll see if Clemson can step up to the task. I know it's a personal game for Dabo Sweeney, who, being an Alabama alum, wants to beat Auburn whenever he can. Last year, wide open receiver, the quarterback misses him. They miss the field goal. Auburn goes on to win by 30. So Clemson will be playing for revenge, but I just don't see Clemson winning. Give me Auburn. I think they're a 3.5-point dog, which I think is easy
really?
Money.
I agree with you.
According to the lines, that's easy money. Take Auburn plus 3.5, and I think Auburn wins by a touchdown or more.
Did Chizik steal Les Miles' horseshoe or what?
I don't think he stole Les Miles' horseshoe. I just think he's playing coaches who suddenly develop slower mental capacities and slower mental processing when they play against the last few minutes. I mean, that Utah State player didn't even try to go for the ball. He just let the ball come to him. You can't do that on an onside kick. And Mullen pulled a huge dirt moment by not throwing the ball with 10 seconds left down on the goal line and using his second play to run the ball. But I digress. He does have some luck to him, but they do have a lot of luck on defense and a lot of skill on offense. And I think that skill on offense is able to compensate for the luck on defense most of the time. Eventually, it's going to have to run out. He may have a stretch like Les Miles circa 2009 where he just has a lot of bad decisions catch up with him in 1 year.
Texas at USC. That's not USC. Texas at UCLA. Who handed me this, by the way? Somebody needs to be fired. Texas at UCLA. Texas has improved, I think, obviously from last year's disaster, but they're still not there yet. I mean, I watched them play against Rice and BYU last week, and boy, I mean, they still have some major issues. But I am taking them because I think UCLA. Why do I keep saying UCLA? UCLA is very pathetic this year. What do you think?
BYU shot themselves in the foot on the potential game-winning drive.
They really did.
And that's what allowed Texas to win. I think that's more of a BYU loss than Texas won. UCLA, I watched them play San Jose State that late game on Fox Sports Net last week, and they did not look good. San Jose State was doing well, then their quarterback came down with severe cramping, and they had to put in a backup who made a couple of critical errors. So Texas should beat UCLA. New Heisel should be gone from UCLA. They just do not look like an impressive football team. He came in with a lot of hype and has failed to live up to that hype. But give me Texas over UCLA. It'll be a fun trip for Texas, return to the Rose Bowl where they had so much success in January of 2010.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they'll do well there. They tend to play well in the Rose Bowl. But
is Colt McCoy going to get hurt again so they can?
I think their starting quarterback may get injured in the first quarter, and
Garrett Gilbert,
whether or not.
Hey, Garrett Gilbert has a lot of experience in the Rose Bowl.
He does have a lot of experience in the Rose Bowl. He did very well there.
Yeah,
we'll see if Gilbert can play any better. But I mean, they're starting to get a quarterback controversy between Gilbert and McCoy's little brother. So we'll see what happens with that. That's always fun when you have two people or two quarterbacks being cheered for by the fan bases.
Big game for the SEC as far as the lower tier of the SEC, not necessarily in the whole picture, but I think it's an interesting game to pick. How about Ole Miss at Vanderbilt? I'm taking Vandy because I really like them this year, as you just said. What about you?
Franklin has the momentum going in there.
He does.
He who shall not be named had met Franklin and was really impressed by him, really impressed by the energy. He's got some big commitments in state already for the 2012 class, so he's got something going there at Vandy. I don't know if he'll turn them into Stanford of the South, but who knows what could go on there. And he could make him definitely a factor in the SEC East race. I don't know if he'll actually win the SEC East, because I think the SEC East is a very paltry, mediocre division. I think Florida we'll be there next year, and we'll see the seeds of a great Florida team being planted this year. Ole Miss, what can you say? But
they're a disaster
on his way out.
Yeah, they are an absolute disaster.
Last week was Sewell's gold against the Division I AA team.
It was. They barely beat them. I mean, they only beat them by 17 points or something like that. So, I mean, let's not go. They couldn't even put Southern Illinois away.
Well, No. Southern Illinois scored a touchdown late. I was watching that on ESPN3. Mm-hmm. They were up 24 points, and Southern Illinois scored a touchdown late, and then Ole Miss just drove to run out the clock.
Well, I didn't watch the game.
It was an Ole Miss pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Unless you had to watch on ESPN3, which is really great if you have a high-speed internet connection and a great processor. You can do the multi-screen game and watch four games at once, which is what we were doing last week with the Jocks Game Day Final.
Yeah.
I watched Vandy beat UConn, watched Utah BYU this week. Vandy and Southern Illinois, and then Michigan Notre Dame. So it was really fun to watch all that.
Yeah, that can be fun.
Going back to the main point, Ole Miss is on rubber legs right now. They're going to get beat by Vandy. Vandy's playing a very aggressive SEC-type defense, which we haven't seen Vandy do. Normally they've relied on offensive tomfoolery. But give me Vanderbilt over Ole Miss.
Tennessee, Florida. I like Florida in a close one by a field goal or two.
I think Tennessee's going to keep it close, and I think that's the game plan. Keep it close and try to do something at the end. Bray right now is showing that he's the best quarterback in the SEC, not Garcia. So I think if Bray has a great game in the Swamp, plays well, and their defense doesn't break and is able to contain Demps and Rainey, I think we will see a big upset in the Swamp. Mm. I'm going to go Tennessee with the upset over Florida in the top 57-year losing streak.
Tennessee's been your team, though, because you, I mean, you had them beating Alabama. I have them beating LSU so before the season. So I mean,
they're my SEC champ. LSU's still my national champ over Oklahoma. But speaking of Oklahoma, that's a huge game this week down in Tallahassee.
That one is big. How about Notre Dame? Do they avoid three games in a row to open the year as a loss, or can they beat Michigan State, a team that is hot right now?
My Big Ten dark horse is Michigan State. I think they learned a lot last year from that embarrassment they had at the hands of Alabama in the Capital One Bowl. But I think Michigan State hands Notre Dame their 0-3 start. All their talks about a BCS Bowl and possible BCS National Championship go out the window. And they're looking at a possible 9-3 at best, probably going to be a lot worse before it gets better. That whole offensive genius formula not working down there at Notre Dame. You need to have a defense. And they went offensive genius with Tyron Willingham, didn't work. Went offensive genius Charlie Weiss, didn't work. Now they've gone to Brian Kelly. They need to go with a run-heavy-oriented offense with a great defense.
I agree.
And they don't have that.
No.
And until they get that, they're going to be mediocre independent that never really gets to a BCS championship game unless the stars align and they manage to just catch everybody on an off year. But Notre Dame and a ton of trouble, give me Michigan State.
I'm taking Michigan State, too. I really am. I think they're a better team than Oklahoma.
Is Michigan State wearing those golden pro combat uniforms?
Yeah, I think they got those from UAB. I really do. I think Neil Calloway FedExed them.
I like the Greek written on them, though. I thought that was pretty cool with the Greek specialty stuff. And they look way better than UAB. Let's not insult Michigan State. UAB just looks horrendous.
Ohio State and Miami in the battle of teams that probably will be on probation soon. Ohio State looked very shaky last week against Toledo. Miami gets Ja'Cory Harris back this week. Does it make a difference?
Miami's just a bad situation all the way around. Feel bad for Al Golden leaving Temple to come to Miami. I think Ohio State has enough talent to win, but I don't think it's going to be a pretty victory. Give me Ohio State in an ugly, ugly game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I saw Ohio State. I do know they struggled last week. So, I mean, I get that. They did struggle with Toledo, who, by the way, plays Boise State tonight, and that could get interesting. Don't think it will, but it could. But Ohio State's going to take care of Miami. Miami, at the bottom line, I know they have Harris back, but they have a whole lot of other distractions going on, as well as players not on the team, and it's not all run by a quarterback. And I wasn't particularly impressed with the one outing I saw Miami play in, and that was their game against Maryland. I thought Miami really was not well coached, and that surprised me coming from an Al Golden team, because I really think a lot of Al Golden. But interesting to see, though, that game. And they will have an entire section reserved for Mark Emmert's NCAA investigation staff there.
Well, I don't think it's Al Golden's fault. I think this is a very Saban-esque situation when there's a lot of bad eggs.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Al Golden's going to have to get rid of that first year. And once he gets rid of all these bad eggs and starts implementing his discipline, we will see a better Miami team. Now, I say better, that is, until they start losing a bajillion scholarships.
And, yeah, they will soon.
They're going to be hit hard. If they do not...
they won't get the death penalty. But they won't get the death penalty, but they will be hit hard. Well, this week ought to be called the week of Florida games, because you got the Tennessee-Florida game in Gainesville. You have the Miami game in against Ohio State in Miami, and now let's go to the north part of the state for our final game of the week, the biggest game, number one Oklahoma taking on Florida State in Tallahassee. I just think Oklahoma's too much for the Seminoles, but hey, I've been told this week that I am completely wrong and that Jimbo Fisher is going to get it done this week. What do you think?
I believe Oklahoma is a 7.5-point favorite going into Tallahassee.
That's incredible.
I think this is a stepping stone moment for FSU under Jimbo, but I do not think it'll be as big a stepping stone as everyone says. I think they'll play them close. I can see them losing by a field goal. But I think Oklahoma has too much. But the fun thing to watch, Landry Jones does not play well on the road. So Landry could always have an implosion.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And I do not take this lightly. I mean, if I were to look at the point, I definitely take Florida State plus 7.5 because Landry Jones is very, very able to implode. Look at what he did against Texas A&M when Oklahoma visited Texas A&M last year. That was a huge implosion. So we shall see. But I think it'll be a good game. It's definitely going to be a fun game to watch. A lot of people will be checking their cell phones while they are at the Bryant Denny.
Yeah.
I definitely think some of the boxes will have the Florida State Oklahoma game on up in the their suite. But
they will.
It's going to be a fun game to watch. Give me Florida State plus 7.5, but give me Oklahoma to win.
I agree with you on both of those predictions. I think Florida State will keep it under the points, but I think Oklahoma will be the victor just because they have more talent, more athletes. But I think Florida State's getting there. I really do. Well, David Sears, do what now?
I do want to say one quick thing.
Sure.
Florida State has responded to the rumor that Texas is coming to the ACC by forming their own search committee to get out into a different conference.
Yeah.
I
don't blame them.
I told you, my dream would be A&M and Florida State coming into the SEC.
It may do it.
That would make it a huge, huge football conference that would become the best.
But Bernie Manchin,
I'm telling you,
Bernie Manchin is a very powerful figure when it comes to SEC negotiations. All SEC votes are not equal when it comes to SEC presidents, and Bernie Manchin's one of the ones on the top end. And I think it's pretty safe to say that as long as Florida, they're going to keep obstructing Florida State as long as they can.
Yes, but remember, A&M was voted in 10-2.
Yeah.
There were still two people that objected. So
yeah, but I bet those. I bet I know who those two were not. I just have a hunch. Know who those two were not.
I'm just saying it's possible for them to bring in FSU. Thank you very much, Bun.
Hey, David Sears. David Sears with us on this Friday. He hosts the Friday night show on WJOX, as well as Jock's Game Day Final with Kelly Kitchens on Saturday nights. So if you're in the Birmingham area, please listen to that show. Very good show. I've been very entertained so far. Y'all are doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much. We're moving it, Jock's Game Day Final, we're moving that tomorrow to before the Bama game. Mm-hmm. We're leading into the Bama game due to the fact the Bama broadcast won't until 11:30.
Wuss.
So, it's not my call, it's the sponsor's call, because the sponsor wanted more exposure, and I have no problem.
Well, in that case, it's a great call.
The person that pays the bills, no problem with
it's,
that.
It's a wonderful call, as a matter of fact.
It's a great idea, yeah.
David Sears with us on this Friday. David, thanks very much. We'll talk again next week. Appreciate it.
All right.
We'll be back next week to recap all the carnage on the field of this weekend. Hope everyone has a good, safe weekend, and enjoy the games, as always.